Okay, well, we are underway. I want to welcome everybody to a wonderful, another fantastic, beautiful, sunshiny day here, well, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, where it's usually much more moist than it is today. And just thank everybody for joining us on another edition of Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers, your host. And with me this morning, I believe we only have Michael. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. Michael and Marie Silvers are wellness consultants from the Seattle area, and they are first level to our current wellness consultants of the year, Mac McDonald and Pat Terry. So just that alone, I mean, that's got to get you a lot of kudo points, right? I mean,
being that
close to the icons, you know, of the world. And I've spent time with Mac and Pat. I've stayed in their home numerous times and spent time on the lake that they live on. It's just a wonderful couple. So that's had to rub off. That's really the only reason I wanted to have you on the call, Mike, so I could...
I knew it. But it's okay. I love being in that position, so I'm okay with that.
Get closer to them. And both Michael and his wife are registered nurses. And I know very little about them, so this is going to be a wonderful conversation, and we're going to go from there. So, Michael, tell me about a little bit about you guys. Tell us about your background and how, goodness sakes, how two people of the same occupation can reside in one house without driving each other completely nuts.
Well, you know, we try not to. I'll tell you one thing with growing up in our household for our children was, unless you were, as we say, and I hate to do this on a term, but bleeding out, or had really broken more than 3 or 4 bones, you don't need to come to us. You'll be fine. You'll survive. So, except for that part, it actually worked fairly well.
Take us back. How do two people decide to wed in the same profession? Were you guys married, you know, before or after? You know, take us a little bit back to how did you wanted to go into the medical field?
Absolutely. We actually both got into the medical field because we really took a look at, we came from the perspective for both of us as wanting to do something a little different, and it was a shift for a career for both of us. And at the same time, it was truly about wanting to help others. It was our way, and we came to this decision separately because we met after we had both already been nurses.
Okay.
And we came together at that point. But it was truly wanting to help, wanting to make a difference in the world, not sure how to do that. And for both of us, the nursing career looked like a great way to go because we also both saw that my wife really wanted to work in the OR, and she saw that as a big way to help. And I knew eventually I wanted to become a nurse practitioner. So, and that was the background that started us that way.
Okay. Okay.
So, and then...
Sorry, keep going.
And, you know, basically what happened is, at the same time, even by the time we had met, part of the pre-story, and I always, you know, talk about this, is quality of life is really what we're looking at and what we want to do, and we want to increase our quality of life all the time. But truly what happened in the beginning was, way back when I was 16 years old, and trust me people, I'm not going to walk through my whole life, but I worked at one of the first coffee stores actually in Los Angeles, California, and I threw my back out. And I thought, wow, there's something just, you know, this you should never hurt like this, and I'm only 16. The only problem is that became a continued problem through my life.
Okay.
And so my quality of life was always affected from a young age, which just, I kept saying to myself, there's got to be something more than this, because I really, truly had tried many different modalities.
Okay. So, and did you, sports injury, throwing your back out, or just walking down the sidewalk, minding your own business?
Yeah, really. No, actually, it was very simple. It was working at a coffee store. I was lifting a 50-pound bag of beans over my shoulder, thinking I was Macho Man. I could probably lift the second one. And I just felt one of those little twitches, and all of a sudden, I'm on the floor, not moving.
Okay. Okay. So, and I'm guessing you and all kinds of different modalities got to be good friends.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. You know, I was willing enough and open enough to be open to some alternatives because I had heard about this acupuncture thing, which to me was amazing because it allowed me to be able to get back onto my feet and move forward. And I had used lots of complementary modalities, but the problem was that I always was still limited and I always still hurt. No matter what I did before I had to go to work, especially once, you know, we were nurses, it was almost this routine of course I'd have to stretch, keep my back limber, but I never knew what little thing would trigger my back again. I could basically be, I worked many years in the dialysis field, and I could just be prepping a machine, injecting a patient, and all of a sudden I couldn't move. Number one, their safety is impaired. Number two, my safety was impaired. And number three, my quality of life always suffered because there was always this little thing in the back of my mind, when will be the next time?
Okay. So tell us what the, I'm curious, because I always just want to get right to the core, the worst thing that you ever did to deal with that. I mean, as far as drugs or treatment, what's the worst thing that someone in your shoes, I mean, knowing what's available, In
yep.
the Western medicine industry, in that field, what'd you do?
You know, what I did, and this is true, especially through the 90s, what happened for me was I started to, you know, and then, of course, it was all checked out, and my back was looked at, and they found that several things had slipped, and it looked even uglier than it did 10 years before, and I thought, this is going the wrong way. And so what they start to do, of course, in the medical profession, which I completely understand because it's the way they treat, is it's surgery time. And what I started to do was pile through all the studies, and I said, but in 5 years, I'm not going to be any better than I am now. I will hurt less for the 5 years, potentially, but there's not going to be a massive improvement, and in 5 years from now, I'm going to be in the same situation again. How many times can we do this? And also knowing all the side effects, also knowing the long-term outcome of any surgical procedure, and the immediacy of a potential problem, that just, I just said to myself, I can't go down that road. The road I did go down, because I knew I was comfortable with it, was anti-inflammatories and anything I could do to relieve the pain, which then started to cause major stomach problems.
Okay.
So now I've got a back problem. I've got stomach problems. I'm irritable because I'm not feeling well all the time. And it starts, then what it does is it starts to affect the relationships around you. And that's the road I started to go down.
Okay. Now, I immediately am drawn when you make the comment about any surgical procedure. This is not just a back issue. And I've, over the, you know, decade plus that I've been in Nican, I keep seeing and hearing these stories of people that had a knee surgery, had a hip replacement or a shoulder surgery. And I remember comments from Dr. Martin Plotkin, who used to practice up here at OHSU in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember him looking almost with tear-filled eyes saying, you know, Vance, I wish I could introduce my patients, or I wish I could have gotten to them before they got on the table, because I open them up and I see what's going on, and I know that this could have been altered with Nican's products. Not so much making a medical claim, but just this passion-filled comment that he made, and I'll never forget that. I remember the hotel lobby we were standing in. I remember, you know, what he was wearing. I mean, it was one of those things. So for you, Michael, you never went the route of surgery.
That's correct.
Okay. And obviously that has to take a toll when you said it affects the relationships around you. So with you and Maria, it obviously affected your marriage, affected your ability as a father. So enter Nican. And
okay.
How did you guys get connected with Mac and Pat?
Yeah. Now that's so. Here's the, as we say, the typical story. But so here I am hurting, and obviously you can just see by the way I'm walking, moving. I'm working with a lot of nurses, and they're all like, "Wow, you should get that thing injected. You should do this. You should do that." And I'm just like, "I don't want to go." And I'm in a nurse practitioner program, so here I am entering the same modality and going to look at opening my own office, and at the same time, one of the nurses that I knew was doing this thing with magnets. And she'd mentioned it once or twice, and really my initial response was, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Magnets? I mean, they're on my refrigerator. Again, I come from the background. It's interesting. I had gone through all these other modalities. My best friend's a chiropractor. I'm very open to, but I heard magnets, and I'm just like, oh, come on. This is just incredibly dumb. And she was fairly persistent, which is what I really appreciate today. I didn't back then because I'm like, oh, get away from me. I'm not going to do magnets. I'm not going to look at them. She actually gave us a pair of insoles that never worked because they sat on our counter for 2 or 2.5 months.
So the part where I'm saying, from a nurse's perspective,
that's right. Products,
they don't work unless they actually make contact with the body. Is that what you're saying there?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm sure we had the healthiest dresser on the whole planet, but my body didn't have any effect from it. So, and we were really, you know, I tell people out there all the time, you know, again, we say it all the time, no is just K-N-O-W, we don't know. I didn't know. Not only did I did not know, I was really heading towards the other modality and really stuck in that. But what happened was one day I got into a very minor car accident, but it just shifted my back. I got home, I could hardly move. And I called in sick. I had never, 9 years, I had never called. I don't call in sick. I made it to work, but I couldn't move. Well, who's one of the supervisors in the secondary unit that hears that I've called in sick? It's this woman who's putting magnets all over me, or trying to put magnets on me. And we know her, so she's a friend. She knows where we live, which is always, you got to be careful of that. We get a knock on the door, and there she is standing at the front door, with this bag, with I don't even know what's in it, and at that point I'm just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. She says, you know what, you're hurting, you can hardly move, basically, be quiet, and she throws all this stuff on the floor. She says, be quiet, lay down, and let's just see what happens. So I lay down, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get back up. This is really a problem. You know, if I go down on this floor in the living room, my wife and her are both nurses, you're going to have to basically somehow get me up or get a fire lift. And she's like, don't worry about it. So she lays me down, and as we know, she proceeds to do the rollout. At that point, I get up off the floor, so that's number one, which I didn't think I could do, and I go upstairs. And my wife thinks that's very odd. She says I didn't say anything as I went upstairs, because I'm normally never rude. And she thought a little bit, maybe that was a little strange. And she comes up to find out what's going on, and I'm a little out of it at this point, so I'm trying to remember exactly the phrase, how this worked. And she said, I basically said to her, I don't know what that is, but my back, something has just changed, and we're going to look at what this is, and we need to get everything they have. And I know not everybody has an instant response. Some people it takes longer, but for me, something, I just knew in my body, which is the power of the rollout. Something changed. Somebody cared enough to pursue me. Somebody cared enough to show me it. And the rollout just it changed my life. And from that day on, I've been a Neekin.
Well, you said before, Michael, that a lot of times we don't know. As in K-N-O-W rather than N-O. We don't know what's going on. It's not no, people are rejecting us because of their superior accumulation of knowledge. Let's put it that way.
Right.
They just don't, they have no, they're clueless like yourself. And we get to this point of, well, surely, you know, in my field, especially in the medical field, surely you would have heard something about this, especially in the Northwest, you know, where we have a plethora of people in the medical field, doctors, nurses, specialists, physical therapists, massage therapists, I mean, the list goes on, all these different people, and yet you'd never come across it. So take us to the point of you come to that point of awareness where you say, okay, man, something just changed. Being honest, and that's a lot of times what we have to deal with people too, is they just don't want to admit that something works, because then they'll have to admit that they were wrong. Oh, Lord forbid. What took place, what transpired at that point? And I would imagine, you know, you and Marie are different fields of nursing, or it's the same exact?
Yeah, no, different fields. She started as an operating room nurse and then also ran some practice managements for doctors. And I was a kidney dialysis nurse, actually pretty much from day one, loved it, did that the whole time, and then was becoming a nurse practitioner. And ran into Neekin during my schooling as a nurse practitioner.
So bring us up to speed. Neekin enters your world because of this crazy persistent colleague of yours.
Yep. And at that point, she introduces us to a wonderful couple, Pat and Mac.
Okay.
And I sit down with Mac, and right away I can tell there's a rapport. We sit down, we have this first meeting. He draws these circles, which I have never seen before. I have never... I think been introduced to other companies way back when, but never really knew about it. So to me, a lot of this was very new in a way, and I realized that there was an industry here. I dabbled in it a little bit, and I thought this is an interesting concept. And basically what he did was ask me what I wanted. asked me what I wanted out of it, really asked me all the questions. He almost, Mac almost didn't talk at all until I asked him to explain how this works as a business. And, of course, we had asked more about the products. We had done some research at that point, but this all happened within just a couple weeks of that rollout. Mm-hmm. Because once I saw it, and once we both saw it, it was really more my wife. Actually, Maria right away sort of said, you know what, there's a business here. We've never quite had one. This is very interesting what we could do with this. Because I was coming out of the great discomfort I had had. I was still a little bit just like, take me along, I'm going wherever you want to go. And she's the one who really got the first meeting going. But at that point, we both saw it. And at that point, we did what I thought was necessary. Being nurses, you know, you want to test everything out. So we did. We bought a wellness home. We bought everything. Every product that Nikan had three times we bought. We bought mattresses, you know, pads for our kids. Because we wanted to just, we knew there was no negative effect. So we bought everything so we could put it on basically everybody we knew.
How old were your kids when you introduced them to Nikan?
Our kids were, let's see, it would have been 15, 14, and 7.
Okay.
And what we saw right away, they had no idea what we were doing. There were these bumpy things on their beds all of a sudden, and they thought, well, that's sort of cool. And what we started to notice was our oldest children, Laura, Christopher, and Emily, our children, and Laura and Christopher are very asthmatic. And so they have a breathing challenge that we're suddenly realizing they're just breathing better and doing much better without as much medication, sleeping better. And by that time, because of what was going on with them, our youngest, whenever she would have little stomach owies or hurts or something like that, she'd crawl under this blanket not knowing what it was and sort of wrap it around her or put it on her stomach. Hmm. So we started to see huge effects in our family. And at that point, that was the convincer that we need to go tell the world.
Now, and how many years ago was that? I didn't even ask how long.
Let's see, about nine and a half years ago.
Okay, so it's been a while. So your kids have grown up with this, especially Lauren and Christopher as teenagers, but then you said Emily was the youngest?
Yeah, Emily was 7. And to this day, the amazing thing is whenever she hurts, she goes for her magnets. She actually is just that. She's a basketball player. She's shorter than she wants to be, but that's okay. And she's a real big basketball player. And they did MRIs on her, one of her feet, and it looks like she's got these micro tears that are turning into potential where you start to contract the tendon. She's got problems with the bone. And they're just, it just happens sometimes. She's not a big milk drinker, doesn't matter, all the other stuff. And all we did was, and the doctor said, you're probably not going to play again. It looks like it's going to be a long time until this all heals. All we did was, again, we said, what we have already, what else can we add to it? We put power patches on. Just by putting power patches on, the next MRI, everything was normal again. She was playing basketball again.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I just reintroduced a gal locally here, and her daughter has been out of basketball for the last couple months. She had the same exact issue going on, and that's exactly what she did. And she's back playing again. The patches. And the far infrared wrap. Michael, I'm curious from, again, and I'm asking these questions from both you and Maria's perspective, going back even to the beginning and as you started sharing it with people other than your own kids, because you can only build a network so much in your own family, at least in your own home, as we heard from Tony last week, sponsoring 14 of his own family members is a little bit different, especially when they're outside of the home. But what was it like for you sharing with other friends and colleagues what Nikan had to offer? Take us back. I mean, what was that initial, whole process like?
Well, the initial, you know, obviously what we did is we made a list of everybody we knew, and it's interesting how you think you know nobody until you start the list. You realize who's married to who, who's related to, who are friends with who, and then we also had some colleagues. And what happened is we actually had our first Nikan party at our house, and we had invited about 32 of our friends, and we had the biggest turnout we could believe because nobody showed up. and nobody showed up, and we basically bought enough Costco food to fill our army. So our son thought this was the most amazing event in the whole world because nobody shows up and all the food is for me now. But what it did is it really showed our resolve at that point because we realized in life, are you going to let other people tell you or show you what you want to do, or are you going to take care of your own life and take charge of how you move forward. So we basically, we had somebody over who was going to do the meeting for us. It was somebody right under Pat Mack, and she was great that she came, and she still did the preview even though nobody showed up for us. So we could still see how it was done, and then we all had dinner together, we had a great time, and realized, okay, we're going to have a round two. So next week, we did the same thing again, and then all of a sudden, a couple people showed up. So what started to happen was we started to create momentum, and I started to talk to everybody I know. I was never pushy or aggressive, because you don't need to be. I gave them the information, I got them to events, I three-wayed them, the power of the three-way for everybody on the call. If you're not doing it, is the most important thing, because it's not just crazy you, there's actually somebody else out there, and it makes a huge difference for anybody. So we started to talk to a lot of people. That's really what we did. And it was sort of, we made a major mess in the beginning, and a lot of people signed up. But what happened is I would go to friends and say, put me in front of somebody you know. And some of them would go, no way. Some of them would say yes. And one of my friends in California put us in front of one person. That's all he ever did. And that one person was our first silver. So that's where you never know, and you never, ever, obviously, you know, don't take anybody off the list until you've given them a chance to take themselves off the list. And they're only taking themselves off the list for now anyways, because we have people 10 years later or 9.5 years later that are coming back now and saying, all right, what is that thing? So that was really the progression forward. At that point, Pat and Mac really jumped in with us. There was one person between us and Pat and Mac, and they quit. It's, for whatever reason, they needed to go off on their own road. She just needed to do whatever she needed to do. You always have to honor that, and that's okay, but all of a sudden, we were frontline to Pat and Mac, which you hear all the time. It's not always who you know, it's who the people know.
Sure, exactly. Now, I want to go back to something you said, Michael, because a lot of us don't understand the magnitude of the power of a three-way, of leveraging and the credibility, and I use the same line that you use. It's not just me being the crazy person in this. There's other folks as well. Let's say you're wanting to introduce me to Nikan, and we've known each other for a while. How would you segue in Mac or somebody else that you would have in your arsenal that you'd want to connect with me? What would you... You know, what's your kind of your line that you say, oh, I want to go get somebody on the phone, and I'm thinking that in my head without saying anything, well, wait a second, you just called me, who's this other person, and why are they getting on the phone? You know, because that's a common reaction. So how do you get through that?
Yep, that's a great question. Typically what I do, the segue happens when I'm on the phone with somebody and I wait for a question that I absolutely can answer. That's really the segue, and I'm not trying to trick them. What I know, even coming from a medical profession, is people want a second opinion, and we're almost trained for a second opinion, but people want a second opinion. So sometimes I'll say to them, there's a couple things. That's a great question. I don't fully know the answer to that. I would never want to give incorrect information. What I'm going to do now is get somebody else on the phone who's been in longer, knows better than I do. And think of it this way, it's sort of your second opinion. That way you can also ask them anything. You can ask them any question that you want. Well, who are they? You know, that sometimes they'll say, well, wait a minute, who are they? It's a business colleague of mine who's been doing the business longer, and they'll be able to answer your question. And then you can ask them any other questions, and then we'll go back to our conversation. Think of it again, it's just a great second opinion.
Okay.
It lends credibility to what we do. It lends credibility to anything, but it's a... Wait for them to ask a question. It's a simple way to do it.
Sure. And, you know, and it's interesting you say that. This week I reconnected with a gentleman I haven't seen in 16 years. Okay, 16 years we got reconnected with the Facebook, which, again, Stacy, my wife, keeps telling me it's not such an evil thing after all, is it? You know, but, you know, being able to do that, and, you know, he has several questions, and he's in Austin, Texas. Well, guess who's in Austin, Texas this weekend is my sponsors, my parents. And I said, well, I'd really like you to meet them. I think you know, and I just wanted to, you know, make the connection. He's 20 minutes from the venue or the, but that, I knew the answer to that question. And I wanted you to elaborate, but I love the way you talk about that, you know, even saying to someone, so it sounds like you're asking me something and you're kind of wanting a second opinion. Let me see. Beautiful beautiful analogy of utilizing something from the medical field or in your profession. Michael, where do you see for you guys and your family, for the Silvers family, where do you see this going?
You know, really, the direction it's heading in it's truly about freedom. People talk about, you know, they want time freedom, they want money freedom, they want, and what you're hearing right now is, you're hearing there's a huge shift. And, you know, people are just tired of where things are going. They're hurting, they're broke, life is not going the way they want. So really for us, it's to share it with everybody we can still to this day. It's to build ourselves again, create a freedom not only for ourselves, but we're really leaving it for our children. It's to create a legacy for them. It's to have a team around the world where we've helped people shift their minds, shift desires, have that extra income they need. I mean, we look at bankruptcies again, and we've always talked about this, but this is a serious issue right now. And I tell people, you know, what would it take for you on a residual income base to never have to think about that? Would it only be a couple $1,000 a month? If the average income in the U.S. for a married couple is anywhere between $35,000 and $40,000, you're not talking a large residual income to keep them ever from having to worry about bankruptcy, ever having to worry about not feeding their children. And that's where we see it going. And for us, it's the same thing. I've done Econ full-time now for about 6.5, 7 years. It's early, but I'll have to think about that. And my wife also has come out of nursing, too. So we see Econ as the vehicle. I know we always say that, it's like a cliche, but we truly do. It's the vehicle to take us to the next level, to help as many of our friends, family, and people we know, and people we don't know, to achieve freedom in their life, and to stop hurting, to stop using a system that's broken at this point, and to really look at the body as a total wellness package.
You know, you nailed the issue that our culture has become so used to, well, we'll just throw in the towel. Just write the debt off, you know, it's okay because we can wait a couple years, we'll just start all over, and settle for second best, when really we've lost a complete aspect of rolling up the sleeves and just digging in and going for it. And I know that right now I see a trend happening, and there's all kinds of, you know, economists who will say this thing, and I've read several different articles, but I really see, and especially, and I love your comment about, you know, people are, they're tired of hurting, and they're tired of it not going where they want it to. They want to. It's about freedom. And we have a gift, and all we've got to do is ask them to take a look. And you know, I appreciate that, what you guys are doing, because you're lending more credibility to not only the industry, and again, we're not against, you know, Western medicine at all. That's not it at all. It's just, as you said, the system's broken. It's not working. So it's about, you know, taking healthcare and turning it into self-care. We take the ownership of it. What? One last question, and then we'll tie a bow on this conversation, because I've gotten, I hit the half-page mark of notes. I have to go back and review things you said and then elaborate. Where, for you guys as a couple, do you see it providing more of a harmony in your home with the five pillars of health, healthy mind, body, family, finances, and society, versus the previous occupations?
Very much so, because a couple of things. It allows, and even if you're not doing it full-time, it allows the camaraderie of a common goal or mission. Because even as nurses, the thing that happens, and again, if there's other nurses on this call, you probably understand, if anybody in the healthcare is very, and healthcare is great. It's got its own place at times, but I'm not trying to take that away. But there's so much politics that you're dealing sometimes more with politics than you are with true healthcare. You're dealing with other people's egos, and that really can get very wearing and break you down and really destroys your the mission. One thing that Nikan's done for us is brought a camaraderie. It's like, it's a common way we can actually create wellness around the world and get out of some of that politics. Really just do what we need to do. Nobody's going to say, no, you can't stick a magnet on them because they don't have enough money. No one's going to be able to tell us that way what to do or what not to do from the standpoint of wellness. And within our system, what it did is allowed us to be more with our children. When I came out of nursing, just think of a teenage son telling you, wow, Dad, you're on way too much. How many children can say that? You know? And that was the greatest, those kind of comments were the greatest comments. It's like, you know, and then your kids are always like, wow, don't you have to make an appointment? I'm sure you have to make an appointment. Let's hope you get some more of those. And we invested our children in it. Every time they hit a new rank, we would be like, yeah, when we did this, tell them, when I get this rank done, we're all going to go here. Or I know I'm in a meeting tonight, but when I get home, you know, I'm going to sit in your bed, read your book, and it's all about you. When you're a little bit out of balance, invest the kids in what you're doing and what you're creating, and really be there for them when you're there. That was the biggest thing it let me do, too, is once I was home, Vince, I was home. I wasn't worrying about the next day, who I had to deal with, what the patients would have to go through. I could just be home. And the harmony of that for a relationship and for your children, I would never have changed that.
You know, I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. And if we can't model this for the next generation, then we've really kind of blown it. And you guys, I know from meeting your wife a few weeks ago and just not spending a lot of time conversing, but just observing you guys from a distance, I admit I was stalking you guys and I was looking across the room at that event, just watching that harmony. And that's, you know, I've met very, very few people in my life that have that special gift. And, you know, if we start with ourselves and, you know, with humans being more, and you start there, then it segues into the rest of the world. Well, I want to remind everybody, if you have somebody that missed hearing Michael's story, hearing the Silver's journey of wellness, you can tap into the recording at www.canbeforyou.biz, and that's C-A-N, the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, .biz, B-I-Z, /S, as in Saturday, www.canbeforyou.biz/S, and hear the recording. And also, if you've never joined us live and you're hearing the recording and you want to join us live, we'd love to have you. Phone number 218-548-1536, and the code is 1536 pound. So, Michael, I want to say thank you for joining us, for giving up 30 minutes on such an amazingly beautiful Saturday. I know your story is going to impact people many, many times over, and I know that because I got a phone call from, again, my sponsors this week, and we were talking, and they said, oh, just listen to such and such interview. Man, I had no idea how powerful that was. Do you remember that? And I said, honestly, no, I don't. Yeah, but it was the power of one story, and what's your journey with dealing with what you did with your back, and not wanting to go even the mode that your profession dictated to you and what you studied, and seeing Nikan as the alternative and having that segue into probably one of the greatest gifts you guys have ever received as a family. And I appreciate that.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on the call, too. And it's an amazing experience. And for those of you on the journey, just keep going on the journey. It just gets better and better, and it's more amazing. And I can't wait to see what the next 10 years for Nikan will be.
Yeah, and it's just the beginning, you know. So, well, again, Michael Silvers has been our guest, and you got the information if you want to catch the recording. And just a quick reminder, next week we are focusing in on product tips, as in T-I-P-S. What do we use these products? How do we use them? What are the things that we've discovered in our journey to really, really have a fun time and run the gauntlet and get the most out of them? And then the following Saturday, we resume our monthly schedule, the first Saturday of every month, focusing on body balance. And then Jackie Pilkington will be with us 3 weeks from today. She's first level to Rick and Kathy Zier. It comes out of the gymnastic background, and wonderful guy. So that's the next 3 weeks at a glance. So everyone, thank you again, Michael. Have a fantastic weekend, and look forward to talking with you next Saturday, if not before, and we'll go from there. So, Michael, thanks again. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, Ben. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.